The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I confess I've always been a bit curious about why Jesus called the first disciples who were fishermen. Why fishermen? To be honest, I never realized what a dangerous profession fishing is, nor did I realize the economic boom to places in the Pacific Northwest. That is, until I began serving Ballard First Lutheran Church in Seattle. Ballard First is a lot like Central. It's a church with a very rich history. It began with a few Norwegian immigrant fishing families back in 1894. Central began in 1904, just 10 years later. In fact, Ballard First was first built by Norwegian fishing families, immigrants that were new to the United States, new to that part of the world, and they built this church in the off-season. They were mostly fisher folk. And dating back to 1929, they have had a long-standing tradition every year of blessing the fleet before the fishing season. So, in recent years, the annual event has been held just across the Ballard Bridge at Fisherman's Terminal, where there's a monument to fishermen who have been lost at sea. Women too, but mostly men. Every year, the event draws a cadre of local and state politicians and officials from the fishing industry, along with a few of the men and women who actually harvest the sea. And each year that I was part of that tradition, my colleague and I took turns bringing a homily to the community that gathered there on a Sunday afternoon. And we prayed for a bountiful harvest for those who steward the sea and for their safe return home. One year it was my turn to give the homily, and I suggested it was the text that we have before us today about Jesus calling these first fishermen to follow him. And I suggested that Jesus had a lot in common with politicians and preachers and fishermen. I said, first of all, they were all good storytellers. And second, they all liked to embellish those stories. And third, that they all drank their fair share of wine. But then I said, the difference is Jesus actually liked fishermen, not so much politicians and religious leaders. And they chuckled and we went on from there. But like I said, before I met someone who actually fished for a living, I always found it intriguing that it was fishermen that Jesus first called to follow him. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest that these men were better or brighter than anyone else. In fact, it appears that they were pretty ordinary, everyday folk. Nothing special about them at all. To paraphrase theologian Frederick Buechner, one of my favorites, he says their sole qualification seems to have been their willingness to follow Jesus and leave behind their fish nets. I suppose one could make a case that they went from one dangerous profession to another. For following Jesus was not going to be an easy road. But an interesting little detail that might be overlooked in today's gospel is hearing how Jesus proclaimed the very same message that John the Baptist had proclaimed earlier. And that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Often the word repent, in religious circles at least, and in a religious context, is used to say, turn around, or reorient yourself in order to make a confession before God, to turn around, turn your life around, to reorient yourself by leaving behind those things that separate you, the sin that separates you from God. And that's a true definition of repentance. However, today, in this case, repent may not mean so much turning around or reorienting as it does seeing something new or different is happening. In other words, when Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, it quickly turns into a compelling invitation from Jesus to leave behind what is familiar and comfortable and to try something entirely new. At least it seems to me that is precisely what happened when Jesus called those first fishermen to follow him. He invited them to leave behind their fish nets, their boats, their livelihood, even their families, and follow him, to enter into a ministry where there's something new and different going on. More importantly, Jesus invited them into a relationship of trust. Trust and reliance on God. And so he called these ordinary fishermen to follow him, to learn from him, to grow with him, and to share in his ministry. These ordinary everyday fishermen were being called to witness to the extraordinary new things God was doing and to show others that the kingdom of heaven had come near. And that, my friends, is where we come in. We are, after all, part of this ongoing work of ministry. Our mission statement, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is to say, Jesus continues to call ordinary people like you and like me to share in his ministry here and now. Jesus calls us to repent. That is to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the new things that are happening. That something new and different is happening among us. Jesus invites us to leave behind what is familiar and comfortable and to try something new. And just as those first followers entered into new and unfamiliar territory, I'm convinced that is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. Many of you have heard this lament of mine, and perhaps I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but personally I'm sick and tired of hearing religious leaders and Pew researchers telling us that the church is dying. That just seems to me to fly in the face of one of the greatest teachings of our faith, and that is that followers of Jesus As followers of Jesus, we are baptized into Christ's death, yes. But we are also baptized into Christ's resurrection as new creations. So if the church is the body of Christ, and I believe it is, then we are the church of the resurrection, the church of new life, the church called to be the light of Christ and to share that light through our own lives, to share the light of Christ in this all too often dark world we find ourselves living in. So listen up. Pay attention. Don't be surprised if you hear Jesus calling your name, like those ordinary fishermen, Peter and Andrew and James and John. You, all of you, we together, church together, are called to share in Christ's ministry, to follow Jesus, to trust him, to learn from him, to grow with him. This is our calling, yours and mine, all of ours, ordinary, everyday people. Sorry to tell you this, but there's nothing special about any of us. Ordinary people, created in God's image, equipped by the Holy Spirit, called to follow Jesus and to witness to the extraordinary things that God is doing, and to show others that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.